Pentecost. After Jesus was resurrected, he remained on the earth for 40 days, and he revealed himself to many of his followers. And before he ascended to heaven, he instructed his followers, catch this now, to stay in Jerusalem. How many of you have ever had a sense of God saying to you, just stay right here, just hold your ground? And this is what he instructed his followers to do after he ascended to heaven. Stay in Jerusalem and to wait until the Father sent them the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see that referenced in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. How many of you here like it when God asks you to wait? Anybody here a little bit antsy when you hear God saying, just wait, just wait for me? And you start waiting. When I got to thinking about it, and this is something that I like to do when I read the scriptures, I like to try to put myself and transpose myself into the scene and just try to get a sense of, well, I wonder what that must have been like, or I wonder what I might have been thinking at that time. And I got to thinking about it as I looked through these verses in Acts chapter 1. Jesus didn't tell them exactly how long they would have to wait. It kind of dawned on me. Now, he just said, in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In a few days. Just wait. But he didn't tell them exactly how long they would have to wait. That would have been nice. Hey, in 3 days, the Spirit is coming, right? Hey, in 4 days, in 5 days, in 6.5 days, at lunchtime in 5 days from now, the Holy Spirit is coming. Just before dinner in 7 days from now, the Holy Spirit is coming, right? And I got to thinking about that. Imagine the anticipation of Jesus' followers as they waited one day to the next, to the next, to the next. I could just hear the murmuring going on. Does anybody know if the Holy Spirit came yet? I don't know. Why don't you ask Peter or maybe James or John to see when or what we're looking for? They seem to talk to Jesus a little bit more than we did. How long must we wait? Just be quiet. Jesus said to wait. So we're just going to have to wait. But if you do the math, the Greek root word for Pentecost means 50, and it refers to the 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, which at that time occurred during the Feast of the Passover. And so it would follow that after Jesus ascended, which was 40 days after his resurrection, his followers would have had to wait around for 10 days for the Holy Spirit. 40 days plus 10 days equals 50 days. Amen. Now, I don't know. Maybe they could have added it up that way. But imagine waiting for 10 days and not knowing when the Holy Spirit was going to come. I don't know. I think maybe I might have wanted to bail out of there after 9 days. You know? So, again, just me transposing myself into this theme, you know. Pentecost is actually the Greek name for the Old Testament festival known as the Feast of Weeks. And it was a harvest celebration commemorating God's provision for and sustenance of his people. And that's in outlined in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 15 to 21. You can just make a note of that. And so that was what Pentecost is, the Greek word for that Old Testament festival, the Feast of Weeks. A harvest celebration, commemorating God's provision for and sustenance of his people. But catch this now. It was also a prophetic foreshadowing of the spiritual provision that would come through the Messiah and his promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Amen? Yeah. Pentecost was the beginning of the fulfillment of end times messianic prophecies from the second and third chapters of the book of Joel. Make a note of it. Mm-hmm. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 to 29 reads like this from the Amplified transliteration. It shall come about that I shall pour forth my spirit on all of mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Be instructed afresh today, saints of God, that this event marked a notable difference in the Holy Spirit's role from the Old Testament times, when the Holy Spirit had previously only empowered certain individuals and sometimes only for a particular period of time. Big difference now. But on the day of Pentecost, there were 120 followers of Jesus together in one place, who not only experienced the Holy Spirit's power, but also His abiding presence. 3,000 people believed and were baptized that day. Isn't that amazing? And these new converts all received the Holy Spirit into their lives that same day. Isn't that amazing? What a revival meeting. The New Living Transliteration reads like this from Acts chapter 2, picking up in verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Get the picture. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled upon each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now stop right there for a minute and take note. This ability to speak in other tongues was different from the gift of tongues referred to by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm not going to go into all that today, but just to make a note of it, there's a distinction between three different types of tongues. This is one, speaking in other languages, and you'll understand that a little bit further as we go. The second type is a spiritual gift of tongues, which is a prayer tongue. And then the third type is a prophetic tongue, which requires the interpretation of tongues. So just a quick review on that, not to be mistaken about what this type of tongues is. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear that their own languages, catch that, their own languages were being spoken by the believers. Imagine being able to speak someone else's language without never having learned that language. Isn't that amazing? They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Note once again, this was different than the spiritual gift of prayer tongues referenced by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. We are Parthians and Medes and Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, from Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, from Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, including Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. How amazing must have that been? To experience that, they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's much too early for that. What you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel," here we go, "that in the last days God said, 'I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. And they will prophesy.'" Note once again that this was different from how God selectively dispensed the Holy Spirit upon certain people in the Old Testament times. But now everyone has the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Everyone has the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? And will have the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a blessing to know? Jumping down to verse 32, Peter continued preaching, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out to us, just as you see and hear today. So let everyone know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Amen? Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the qualification for receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is to repent of your sins and be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away. It's a generational promise. All who have been called by the Lord our God. And from the day of Pentecost until the second coming of Christ, make no mistake about it, the Holy Spirit is and will continue to be available to everyone and anyone who would repent, believe, and submit to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. I wonder how long that was. Preachers love these type of scriptures because you can say, look at that, Peter preached for a long time. Amen. Of course, I get inquisitive about that. I wonder how long that was. And so, but he was preaching and strongly urging all his listeners to be saved from this crooked generation. And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. What a good start for a church fellowship. Amen. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals and to including the Lord's Supper. And to prayer, and a deep sense of awe came over them, and all the believers met together in one place. There's corporate worship, amen? And they shared everything that they had. Isn't that amazing? And even some of them sold their property and possessions as was needed and shared the money with those in need. Isn't that amazing? They worshiped together in the temple each day, and they also met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Hopefully more people are doing that now. People that are staying home. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Hallelujah. That's the baseline framework for the local church fellowship right there. Don't have to look too far. Don't have to go to another seminar. There it is. Right there. Just do that and be the church. Amen?
Amen?
Make no mistake about it. Pentecost is consequential because it marked the beginning of the church age. And the description of fire and wind mentioned in the Pentecost account resounds throughout the Old and New Testament. The sound of the wind at Pentecost was rushing and it was mighty. And throughout the scriptures, wind is referenced as being representative of God's power. And it's always understood to be under God's control. Amen?
Right.
Wind is also referenced throughout the scriptures as being representative of life. The God-given breath of physical life. And the spiritual life that comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The enabling power and transformative life experience generated by the Holy Spirit was made tangibly evident through the wind that filled the room at Pentecost. Aren't you glad that there are times when God makes Himself tangibly evident to you? Amen? All of creation is resounding the glory of God. The tangible evidence of God is all around us through creation. Amen? The wind was a physical manifestation of the transformative spiritual move of the Holy Spirit upon the people. Throughout scriptures, fire is often referenced in association with the presence of God and with His holiness. The fire of God is representative of the purification that the presence of God can bring about in a human life. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, encourages and motivates us afresh along these lines from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. And it goes like this: let us be thankful, 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 and pleasing to God by worshiping Him with holy fear. For the presence of our God is a consuming fire. The purifying holiness of God's presence was made evident by tongues of fire at Pentecost. God provided tangible physical signs of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, catch this now, so that the people of the fledgling church would be convinced of the Spirit's outpouring. Amen? He wanted them to know that they would know that they would know that, yes, this is the Holy Spirit. Amen? After the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples didn't just stay in the room basking in God's glory. That would have been nice. Amen? Let's just hang out here and bask in God's glory. But instead, they went forth in the power of God, propagating the message of the good news of Jesus' kingdom, just as Jesus said they would in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere you go, in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. These once fearful and doubting followers of Christ became bold and confident pursuers of Jesus' kingdom advancement. Isn't that amazing? By the power of the Holy Spirit, fearful apprehension gave way to courageous assurance. Amen? We too have the Holy Spirit's enabling power in us to witness wherever we go, to always be ready to give the reason for the hope that we have. Amen? Amen. Pentecost is consequential because it reminds us of the reality that we who believe all have the same unifying Spirit that was poured out upon the first century church. It's the same Spirit now.
Amen.
And it's a reminder that we are co-heirs with Christ. And so as co-heirs with Christ, at times we will suffer for His name's sake. Yet through the God-appointed suffering that we may have to endure like He did, we also will be glorified as He was and is. Amen?
Amen.
Pentecost is consequential because it demonstrated the manifestation of the Spirit, catch this now, for the common good of the church. Everyone doing whatever they can with what they have right where they are for one another. Amen? There was a sense of overwhelming community and unselfishness. Amen? Pentecost is consequential in that we who are in Christ are all baptized by one Spirit into one body of Christ. And that Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead lives inside all believers. Pentecost is consequential because it establishes that the Holy Spirit indwells all those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. Some believers have made it a lot more complicated than what it really is.
Right.
Repent of your sins, believe in Jesus, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Bringing about transformational change in our lives as we repentantly yield more and more of our lives to the Holy Spirit's control.
Amen.
When you come to faith in Christ, you get all of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't yet have all of you. Amen?
Yes.
That's the sanctification process. Amen? As we repentantly yield more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control so that we can become more and more like Jesus. Hello.
Yes.
In all that we would think and say and do. Bottom line. Bottom line. Progressively experiencing the blessing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, empowering us for Jesus' kingdom purposes until that day that we will be absent from this fallen world and thoroughly present with Him, raptured into His presence, or resurrected from the dead, whichever may come first for us, according to the number of days that God has in mind for us. Either way, one day we will be with Jesus in His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give Him praise in this place today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today.